dispose of the information that I'd like to share this evening. And I didn't know it until I was sitting here this evening, because I have a lesson prepared for those of you that have it. I want you to fold that up. I want you to take it home, and I want you to keep it with you, because we're going to come back to it. Tonight I want to do something that I didn't know that I was going to be doing, but I feel like it's time to do it. And that is, I want to talk to you about what Paul writes about in Ephesians. And what I want you to do, if you would, very quickly, open your Bibles, and this will go, in the book of Colossians. Do this very quickly with me, and we'll see that there's something that we need to be doing right now that Paul prayed for. Turn to Colossians, the fourth chapter, and let's begin at verse 1. It says, "Masters, give your servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open up to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Paul prayed for the opportunity to speak the word to others. This coming Friday night, we have an opportunity to bring people in to hear the word of God, don't we? We have an opportunity that Paul prayed for himself to bring people in, to come in and to listen to and to study the word of God. It's an opportunity that we can take advantage of, or it's an opportunity that we can let slip right through our fingers. Now, I know there are a couple of you, and I won't mention names, so I know there are a couple of you who have gone out and actually distributed some flyers out in the area, and for that, I'm sure not only I thank you, but the congregation as a whole thanks you for your efforts in getting the word out. I want you to look around, and I want you to take notice. There are a lot of members this evening, just of our own family here, that aren't here this evening. We only have Wednesday night study to meet again as a group to remind even our own family here about the opportunity this Friday. It's coming quickly. I think it came upon us faster than we were expecting almost. But we need to make sure that we're prepared and that we're taking advantage of the opportunity that's being given to us. There are a couple of things that I want you to consider. One of the reasons I said take a look and recognize who may not be here right now is because we also have a responsibility, and throughout this week at some point we should reach out to them and remind them. We should reach out to one another and remind one another also that we have this opportunity this coming Friday. And it's an opportunity this coming Saturday, and it's an opportunity all day Sunday as we get advantages and opportunities all day Sunday. But I want you to recognize there are some that aren't here this evening that we need to share this with. Because if we really want to spread the gospel in this area, it starts with the members here first. If we want to show the world in this area in particular that God is the most important thing in our lives and that we want to share that with them, then we need to be in this building when we have an opportunity to do it. And I want you to stop and think about the fact that it's really not that much that's being asked, is it? A Friday night? One day out of the general work week? A Saturday night, which isn't generally part of the work week, but supposing you do work on Saturdays, and you work day shift on Saturdays, and you have evening off, how hard is it really, two nights out of your work week, to say, I know I'm a little tired, I know that maybe I'd rather stay home in bed, maybe I'd rather get rest, but say, you know what, God has given me so much, and He's given me this opportunity with this individual to study with, someone that many of us don't know, somebody who is very well learned, somebody who has the gift of presenting His word to us, and we have an opportunity to receive it, so we need to be here to do it. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about how important it is that we support our own meeting. I want you to think about the idea of what it looks like when other people come into this congregation and into this building, and they look around and they don't see a whole lot of people that are recognized as regular members that are here on a regular basis. They'll recognize it,
They'll know whether or not people are talking with one another and associating with one another in a manner that says, yep, we're together all the time, and yet meeting with them. And what's the message going to be if we get people to come in and sit down and then we're not here ourselves? See? We're going to send a message one way or the other. We're going to send a message. And it's either going to be, this really is the most important thing that we do, and we want you here with us, or the message is going to be, we claim that this is the most important thing, but when it comes down to it, I want my Friday night or Saturday night back. We got to think about it. We've really got to think about it. I think about the idea that God or Christ teaches that we're the light of the world. And we are to shine as lights in the world that through our good deeds men may see and glorify God. Coming together for the local gospel meeting is one of those good deeds. And people are either going to see it and glorify God, or they're going to see it and they're going to say, see, their own congregation doesn't even care. Their own people don't even care. I didn't know I was going to do this. Nobody asked me to put out a pitch for this meeting. It's just something that I've been thinking about. It just dawned on me. Consider what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. He talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. He does not say not forsaking the assembly specifically, which I believe in some instances it may be translated that way, but it's also listed as the assembling of ourselves together, and so much more as you see the day approaching is a phrase that's used in there. I believe that we can say that the church has gotten together and said that we are going to assemble on Friday night and Saturday night. That's a God-given right that we have as a church to decide to do if we want to add to and have more than just our regular scheduled meetings. But I believe that's a time that the church has said we are going to assemble together. So if it falls into the category of the assembling of ourselves together, we need to ask ourselves, should we be forsaking that? Now, if you work on Friday or night or Saturday night, just like if you had to work on a Sunday and you couldn't be here, I'll use Travis as an example because I know he had to work this morning. He wasn't forsaking the assembling this morning when he had to work. If you happen to have to work Friday or Saturday night and you can't be here for the meeting, then I say I understand. That's no problem. But if you say, I had the ability to be there, but I just chose to do something else on Friday night, I just chose to do something else on Saturday night, I didn't want to take advantage of the opportunity, then I would ask you to just ask yourself, am I forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? I honestly believe that it is our God-given right, and when the church comes together as a whole and says, we are going to assemble at this given time, that it's expected that we're going to assemble at this given time. Not that it's just a good idea, but it's something that we're going to do as a church. We're also going to send a message back to Lakeland, Florida. Am I correct? Lakeland, Florida? Okay. We're going to send a message back to Lakeland, Florida, whether we know it or not, because Mark's going to come in, and he's going to see whether or not we supported our meeting or not. He's going to recognize if he sees the same faces come. He's going to recognize if he sees faces come only once. He's going to recognize that he doesn't see any faces in the audience and there's nobody here to listen. And you know what? People are going to ask him, how'd the meeting go? Did you get a good turnout? You know, that's the first thing that everybody asked me when I did my first gospel meeting. Did you get a good turnout? It's kind of sad because it wasn't as good as I would have liked it. The numbers weren't as high as I would have liked it. But that's going to be talked about. And so then we're sending a message to our brothers and sisters that live in another area, aren't we? Are we sending a message that says, yes, we're a church that's working together and working hard to share the gospel just like as we expect you are? Or are we sending a message that says that we're like some of the churches that are written about in the book of Revelation, where we've kind of lost our first love? Where we say that we have a work and we say that we're excited, but we're dead. Is it that hard to give up a couple of nights out of the week? It's not that much when you think about it. It's not even a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday situation where you might have a work day every day. But it's got to start with us. If we expect to have an impactful gospel meeting, it has to come from us saying, I'm going to be here to have an impact on it, if I can be here. If I'm sick, if I'm working, Again, those are things that we have no control over. The things we do have control over are the things like my favorite show is on Sunday night, or Saturday night, or Friday night. Or I want to go out with my friends and do something on Friday night. You've delivered a serious message when your friend asks you, hey, you want to come out and watch the ball game on Friday night with me? We'll go find a place to sit down and eat. You know, you want to come eat with me? You send a strong message when you say, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. I was going to go to a meeting that that my local congregation is holding, but I think I'd rather go out and I'd rather go out with you and have something to eat. What message are we ready to send one another? Let's figure out who the message goes to. What message are we sending to one another as a congregation collectively? What message are we sending to the man that's willing to come and put his time and energy and work into study for us? What message are we sending out to the world about what's important to us? And lastly, and most importantly, what message are we sending to God when we think about the opportunity that we have to attend this meeting? So I encourage you wholeheartedly over the next week to think about the opportunity that we're given, to pray about the meeting that we're having, to pray that there'll be souls that come in from the community, to pray that it will be a benefit to all of us here. But to really think about, and the time to think about a gospel meeting isn't the time you walk into the door the first night. The time to think about it is now. The time to think about it, we can hope for a good meeting, can't we? We can have a reasonable expectation, like we were talking about, of a good meeting. And we can wait anxiously for it, like we talked about. Or we can set it aside, once again, not see the meeting as a gift that's been given to us, and ignore it. It's really all I want to share with you this evening. You know, it's not a typical sermon, and I apologize for that, but I think that there are times in life where things come up that we need to talk about. There are things that come up that we need to address. We're down to this Friday is day one. I guess I really realized this because my wife told me this morning, and I hadn't even thought about it. Just quickly, I'll share and close out. My wife told me this morning, she said, this is the last time you're going to preach before you have a new son. She's right. I didn't think about that. That's how close the meeting is. That's how close I am to being a father for the second time, too. But I hadn't thought about that. And she's right. The meeting, folks, is this week. Sunday is the first day of the week. We sometimes forget that because the world considers it a weekend. We have a gospel meeting this week. We have a special opportunity. We have a gift that's being given by somebody willing to share their time and their energy to come and help us. And in response, we have a responsibility to gladly accept the gift that he's willing to give to us and not leave him stranded up here. He'll be happy if one person walks through the door. I believe that, wouldn't he, Nathaniel? He'd be thrilled to sit down and talk to one person if only one person came in the door. How thrilled would he be if he saw that we needed extra seating when he walked in the door? He'd be thinking, they're doing some good work. How thrilled would you guys be? How exciting is it? It's only happened a couple of times since I've been here, but there's been a couple of times that we were really getting tight when it came to seating. It may be because large families come for get-togethers, but I don't care what it is. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel good. And how good would it feel for us and for him if we could fill this building up? If you have any needs at this time, as always, the Lord's invitation is available to make it known, to come forth, to either first ask him to forgive you of your sins and allow you to be buried in the waters of baptism and rise anew with him, or if you've already done that and you've lost your first love in some way, or you've moved away from him and your light is not shining the way it should, and you want to be able to let that light shine once again, God can wipe it all away for you so that your light can burn bright. Think about that. When dirt and grime gets on a light, what does it do? It dims, doesn't it? It has an effect when the light tries to shine through that dirt and things that are on there. That's what happens to us as examples. It becomes harder for us to have that light shine through. But what happens when you wipe the lens clean and the glass clean? The light comes bursting through, doesn't it? And it's very apparent. And everybody can see it. And it benefits others. If you have a need, let us know while we stand and sing.